a solemn assembly. You shall not do any ordinary work. Verse 37. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as times of holy convocation for the presenting to the Lord food offerings, burnt offerings, and grain offerings, sacrifices and drink offerings, each on its proper day. Besides the Lord's Sabbaths, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vow offerings, and besides all your free will offerings, which you give to the Lord. On the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn day of rest, and on the eighth day shall be a solemn rest. You shall take on the first day the fruit of splendid trees, branches and of palm trees and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It is a statute forever throughout your generation. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Verse 42, you shall dwell in the booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths, and that generation may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And finally, verse 44. Thus Moses declared to the people of Israel the appointed feast of the Lord. Amen. Father, we humbly bow before you this morning and confess that we are a blessed people, Lord. There's no place we'd rather be. There's no position we'd rather be. You are everything that our hearts desire. And in you, we have found home. You are our home and our heart and our love, and we love you today because you first loved us. Meet us now in your word, guide us into truth, and help us to apply it rightly to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. So as we come to this final feast, just a quick review, and then we'll work our way through this last one. You will remember that all of these feasts point to Christ Jesus, right? He is the fulfillment of all of them. The first three, as we saw, were his death, burial, and resurrection. The Feast of Weeks, we saw represented the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We also saw that Feast of Trumpets, which was a pretty obvious one, representing the return of Christ, the last trumpet sounding, and the dead in Christ rising, the resurrection of the saints. And then last week we looked at the Day of Atonement, which represents all of our sins forgiven in Christ. He is our sacrifice, he is our high priest, and all of our sins have been covered in him. Today, we look at this final feast, and we'll follow the same pattern that we had in all of them. We'll look at the origin of it, and then we'll look at the significance of it, both for the people who originally received it and for us today. It has the same divine origin that we've seen in every one of them, and I know you wonder why I repeat it. Well, it's because the Bible repeats it. The Bible says that God is the one who gave these, and so we have to say what the Bible says, yeah? If the Bible emphasizes it, then we emphasize it. If the Bible does not emphasize it, then it should not be emphasized by us, you see? And so you see in verse 33, and the Lord spoke to Moses. So it's him who instituted this particular feast, just as with the rest of them. And then his message, as we've seen always in the past, is to his people. And it's God's people who understand and obey his message. You see right at the very first, the next verse, the very first of it. Speak to the people of Israel, amen. So that's been the pattern that we've seen in all of the feasts. And then we get to the specific instructions. And so just pay attention and make sure you understand what was said. That's the first thing you do when you read your Bible. You want to make sure you understand what it says. Then you want to understand what it means. And then you want to understand how it applies. You get it? So what does it say? What was the instruction that was given here? The instruction was that this was a seven-day feast beginning on the 15th day of the seventh month, as I told you before, which is Tishri. The 15th day of the seventh month, Tishri. You see that in verse, go back to verse 34. Speak to the people of Israel saying, on the 15th day of this seventh month for 7 days is the feast of booths to the Lord. So that's the beginning of the instruction. There was to be no normal labors for 2 days. Okay? And again, as I try to emphasize as we worked our way through here, God is so concerned about us that he knows we have to, he has to tell us to take rest. You see? And it's no different than parents today raising a small child. If that parent doesn't, sometime a parent has to make a child go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you're babysitting for someone, you realize you have to make that child go to bed. Why? Because they don't know what's best for them. And they think that they can just stay up and go and go and go and go. And you know that that they need rest. And so no normal daily labors for 2 days in this feast. The first and the last days. There were various offerings that were presented to the Lord. Verse 35. You might remember that when we were reading through. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall hold a holy convocation and present a food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no ordinary work. You see how that's repeated over and over? It's important. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as times of holy convocation for presenting to the Lord the food offerings, burnt offerings, and grain offerings, and sacrifice and drink offerings, each on its proper day, besides the Lord's Sabbath, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vow offerings, and besides all your free will offerings, which you will give to the Lord. So you see all of these details. So that they got it right. And I say to you and I, that's how much God loves us. He wants us to get it right, you see? To get it right. And every parent here understands that. If you're going to send your child out to do something, you want to give them proper instruction. Why? So they can get it right. You can't blame a child if you gave them poor instruction, right? And so God gives good instruction to his people. Finally, verse 39, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn day of rest, and on the eighth day shall be a solemn day of rest. Okay. Now, the other basic instruction is that believers were to live in these booths, you see? These temporary booths for 7 days. But it was to be with joy and rejoicing. And it seems like an oxymoron. But you have to embrace what God is reminding them of, you see? You get outside of your home. He wants you to go and live in these temporary arrangements And he wants you to have joy and rejoicing as you are doing it, because it's what? Reminding you of something. And that's the whole idea of worship. We engage our minds. We don't want to forget what God has done for us. Yeah? It's a sad thing. I keep going back to this parent-child thing. But it is. It's a sad thing to see a child forget what their parents have sacrificed for them, what they've done for them to get where they are. Isn't it? And you see that, and it breaks your heart to see a child that has grown up and benefited so much from all the sacrifices of those around them as if nothing was done. You see? So you have to engage your memory. Verse 40, you shall take on the first day the fruit of splendid trees, branches of palm trees and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It is a statute for ever. Throughout your generation, you shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in the booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths. Okay? That generations may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared these things to the people of Israel. So you see the purpose there? It was to what? Remind them of what God had done to them. Remind them of how God had been to them. Remind them, don't ever forget. You're living good right now, but don't forget how you got there. Don't forget what God had to do to bring you from where you were to where you are. You see? That's the joy. Remembering ought to bring joy when you see. You see, it's the comparison is always what brings people down. They're always comparing, always competing, always jealous of someone else. No, remember what God brought you from. You see? That'll bring you joy. Yeah? When you remember what you started from, and when you look at where you are now, rather than looking all around you at what he's done for someone, look at your own life and see where he's brought you from. Right? What does that do? It'll bring you joy. You get it? And so the whole idea here is not to forget. Not to forget. These booths or these tabernacles were made from branches of trees and twigs. And why? Because they were quick and easy to assemble. It was temporary relief from the discomforts. At least he didn't send them out just to live in open air, you see. At least he gave them some semblance of comfort. But it was to remind them, when you were on your journey out of slavery, what? God provided for you. Amen. And everybody in here ought to understand that. Most of us have journeyed with the Lord a long time. And you know along the way, it wasn't all pleasant. But he took care of you. He took care of you. A lot of it was temporary. But he took care of you. Yeah? You knew that you knew that first car you got wasn't going to be the last one. But it got you where you needed to be, didn't it? You know that first apartment or whatever it was you had. Yeah, you know that wasn't the best, but what? It provided your needs, you see? You know that you didn't have that many clothes, but they were enough for you to what? Get started, you see. And so remember what he's done for you along the way. So you get it. You get the idea and the picture. Don't forget. And so then the significance, as we think about the significance for those in the Old Testament, this is really interesting. Some of you may have picked up on it already. This was, look at all the sevens, right? You know, it was the seventh feast, so what, the last one of the feast. It lasted 7 days, and it was in the seventh month. You get it? And so, you all, those of you all who kind of studied numerology and things in your Bible, you know that the idea of seven is the idea of what? Completion. This is complete. And so that's the idea here, is that we've come to the end of the feast, and at the end we still find joy. Oh my, oh my. It's just a wonderful thing to be able to see that even at the end of these feasts, there's a reason for joy. Yeah. And to what? Look for, see, because they did this every year. And to what? Look forward to it, what? Next year. Yeah. Yeah. So, you see, all things were complete in this, in that this is the last feast of the year. And it comes at the end of the harvest. You get it? It comes at the end of the harvest season. And so, because it's at the end of the harvest season, the harvesting is complete. You get it? All of the harvest has been gathered in, and now it's time to enjoy it. All of it has been gathered in, and it's time to enjoy it. This is a reminder that God is holy. A reminder that God is worthy of worship and sacrifice. A reminder that God dwelt among them after their departure from Egypt. Remember, we read that as he worked to remember, I made you dwell in booths when I brought you out of Egypt. Why? So that you remember me. And you remember all of the other things that God did for them. You know, think of it. Wake up every morning and bread from heaven. Yes. From heaven. You did nothing. You didn't work for it. You didn't plant a seed. You didn't, nothing. You just woke up and God says, here, here's food. And they started complaining about that. And what did he do? He says, okay, you want meat? He gave him meat, didn't he? He's a good God. He's a good God. And so this was to remind them that God was with them along the way. And you see, when God is with you, it brings you joy. When you know God is with you, you have joy. It doesn't feel so good, but you still have joy. That first job wasn't a pleasant thing, but because God was with you, you could still have joy. And you know what? If you look back on it, I wasn't a Christian, at the beginning of my journey, but. Once I became a Christian, and I could look back on it and see even before I was a Christian, God was with me. Why? Because I never would have made it if he had not been with me. And so even that brings me what? Joy. To know that God took care of me when I was a heathen, when I was scheming, when I was plotting, when I had evil thoughts and evil ways, evil motives, God was still with me. Sends his sunshine on the what? The just and the unjust. And the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Yeah? That's the only way we made it. Is that he took care of us when we weren't right with him. For when we were ungodly, what? Christ died. Yeah? People, I hear people say, I'm going to come when I get it together. You can't get it together. There was some come as you are, just as I am. That's the way you have to come to God, just as you are. And every Christian in here knows that. You can't fix yourself. You can't clean yourself up. You come to God, let him what? Clean it up. And oh my, he can do it. He can clean it. He can clean it up. You clean it up, he can clean it up. Yes, he does. He can clean you up. Clean you up. So you see, this was a reminder that God was with them during their time of suffering and led them to the promised land. Led them to the promised land. These booths were to be that kind of a reminder. Now, what about us in the New Testament? Well, the fact is, Christ dwells in each one of us individually. When? Right now. Amen. But the time is, and even collectively, he says, well, two or three, what? Are gathered together, there am I. So he's not only dwelling in us individually right now, but he's dwelling among us. But the time is coming. The time is coming. When he will dwell collectively in a way that we've not seen and known and understood when he returns. Yeah? I think it was Colossians 1 where Paul speaks of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah? Christ in you. And that's a wonderful, the imagery of that is just so amazing. That in every individual, that's a Christian, Christ is in you. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? But the Spirit of Christ, you see, can dwell in every individual, and yet he can make his presence known and felt and real in a group, just as that cloud descended from heaven and the glory of God, you see, was seen by all. And so God is so wonderful, so phenomenal. And so this is a wonderful thing that you and I live in a time. I was telling my wife and I were talking this week, and you know, you think about it, she was reading a story about some of the Wesley brothers, and you know, some of these saints that had to live back in the 1700s and 1800s, and you know, ride horses and travel from town to town on horses and inclement weather, and you know, you're talking about how these Wesley brothers had to travel in all this cold, hard rain. And he spoke of this. He went to this house. They didn't have heat. Then the windows were, you know, worn out. They had to nail up boards on the windows and all of the sacrifice. And this is just to preach. This is for the gospel. This is for the gospel. And you and I complain for the slightest little inconvenience. The slightest little inconvenience. This is a marvelous thing that we are blessed in this particular generation. So we were talking about the fact that you and I have been blessed in a generation where, think of it, you know, electricity and vehicles. I mean, I don't know how far they could travel on a horse. I didn't look that up. How far you can travel on a horse in a day? But think of it, in a day. Think of how far you could travel in a day in a vehicle. Not much less than in an airplane, you know? This is phenomenal. But this is the age God chose for us to be born now, not in the 1700s. And so, to whom much is given, what? Much is required. And so you and I need to know that We have a lot of responsibility. Yeah. We've been blessed, but a lot of responsibility that comes with the blessing. Yeah? And so Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then these few verses, let's turn back to Revelation 21 real quick. Excuse me. Revelation 21, and many of you may be familiar with these verses, but let's just read them together. Revelation 21, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride and adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, look at this. The dwelling place of God is what? With man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Isn't that amazing? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And he who sat seated on the throne said, behold, I am making what? All things new. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. So the day is coming when God is going to dwell with us in a different way. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered the heart of man. What's coming? It's going to be wonderful the way he dwells with us in the future. I would say, before I move on, that I thought about this. I want to engage your sanctified mind. Do you remember the joy of your deliverance from Egypt? Your Egypt. Do you remember the joy of deliverance from sin in your life? The joy of deliverance from sex? The joy of deliverance from drugs or alcoholism or whatever you were enslaved by? The joy from being slave to lying or cheating or stealing? The joy of being set free from gluttony or homosexuality or adultery or jealousy or envy or covetousness? The joy of being set free from loving this world and the things of this world, the desires of the eyes, the desires of the flesh, pride of life, the joy of being set free. You see, that's the joy of your salvation. Yes. You got to never forget it. Never forget it. See, that's the idea here. Remember when you were brought out of your Egypt. It'll bring joy to your life. You see, there should never be a dull worship service. Not because of me or the music, but you got so much joy in your heart. You got so much desire to worship God. What's dull about it? You get it? So when everybody comes with joy like this, there's praise. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul said. And again, I say what? Rejoice. Now he said that in prison. Why? Because prison can't stop him from worshiping God. Prison can't lock up your joy. Circumstances of life can't lock up your joy. It's the joy God gave you. The world can't take it away. Isn't this good? Say, but you got to exercise your sanctified mind. You see, you remember that you were involved in these things, but you were what? Washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's what happened to us. We were all enslaved by these different things, just as Israel was in Egypt. But God set us free, washed us, sanctified us, justified us. So we sit here today, what, clean. And when he calls upon us to worship, what do? We worship. We don't make excuses. Why would you make an excuse to worship a God who set you free? Yeah? Why would you choose to do something else when the God who sets you free says, calls upon you? You see, that's the idea. He set aside a time. A moed, this is a time to worship God. So why would you go do something else? when the God who is your liberator calls you to give him some time. Again, it's like the parent child relationship. You can't forget. It's a challenging thing when children move along and get to enjoying life. You just have to be sure not to forget what the parents have done for you, and likewise in the kingdom of God. And so here we see that when Christ returns, things will finally be complete. You remember what we said up early on? All of the seven mean what? Complete. When is it going to be complete? When Christ returns. It's going to finally be complete. And then the joy will be so complete that we won't know what. Right now we see through a mirror dimly. We got joy. Our cup runs over. But so you cannot fathom how wonderful the joy will be when all of the clouds have been rolled away, when there's no more darkness, no more pain, no more misery, no more sin, no more temptation, no more corruption, no consequence of sin. How wonderful that's going to be when you are really free, free to see, free to understand, free to love, free all of the things that God has planned for you. Now you can freely see them and understand them and do them. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. So even though you got joy now, and joy that fills your soul, it doesn't compare to the time that's coming when your joy will really, really be complete. You know, the other thing I thought about as I try to turn the corner and wrap up here is that in a lot of ways, our bodies are like these temporary booze. You know, you think about it. Our bodies are like these what? These little temporary booze. And you see, in these little temporary booze is where what? The Spirit of Christ dwells. 1 Corinthians 6, you remember when Paul was trying to exercise the Corinthians' minds and they were committing these sexual sins. He said, do you not know that your body is a temple? Right? Where the Spirit dwells. And do you not know this? The Spirit dwells in you, right? And so we're these temporary booze where the Spirit of Christ dwells. Another little section of Scripture. Go to 2 Corinthians. Y'all may have you've heard this one, but I don't want to just quote it. I'd rather just us look at it. Put your eyes on it, and let's read it together. 2 Corinthians 5. It's an amazing thing. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 5. Listen at this. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed. You get the idea? It's temporary. It's temporary. And it's called a tent, so that we can understand what? It's temporary. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a what? A building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on the heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So you get the picture? These old bodies are temporary. But even in these old fragile, temporary bodies, the Spirit of Christ dwells. You remember Paul, at another place, Paul said we're like what? Little jars of clay, didn't he? Jars of clay where the gospel is invested. You get the temporary nature. And so, it just makes it even more relevant when you can see that you yourself, in a lot of ways, are like these temporary booths. Wherever you go, it ought to be a reminder to you of what God has done for you. You look in the mirror and you see that things are, as the days and weeks and months and years go by, you can see what's happening to this soul tent, can't you? As the old song used to say, there's a leak in this old building. Yeah. And some of us know about that. We feel the cracks and the leaks. And you know, the other line in that song says, I got to move. Yeah. And that's true for every one of us. You're going to have to move. Thank God that we won't have this old building, you know, throughout eternity. Aren't you thankful you got a new one? As he said here, a house not made, what? By hands. So God's presence brings joy, peace, comfort, courage, hope, and pleasure in this life and throughout all of eternity. So those are the things I wanted to try to impress upon you from this last festival. And so then, my beloved brothers and sisters, we can see that the Feast of Booths is the culmination of all the feasts. It's the final harvest of the year. And this is really important. The final harvest of the year. The final ingathering and coming together of God's people. The last time they're going to come together in the year. We look forward to that great harvest when Christ will gather all his sheep together. All of them. All his sheep together. Believers from Adam and Eve to the end of time. He's going to gather all his believers together. And he'll gather believers from every continent, every gender, every race, every age, every language. Believers that never experienced electricity. Believers that never knew what an airplane is. Believers that never experienced automobiles or appliances. Believers that died as slaves. Believers that died as castaways. Believers that died as martyrs. Believers that were starved or burned at the stake. Believers that were skinned alive and fed to lions and whatever the case may be. All of God's children. We'll gather for eternal joy and rejoicing. You know that old song, when all of God's children finally get together, that's the only thing they can say is, oh, what a time. Yeah, that's the whole idea. Joy. We will sing a new song with new bodies, a new name, and a new heaven, and a new earth. Remember Revelation said that? He has made all things what? New. You look forward to that? All things new. All things new. It's going to happen. It doesn't matter who believes it or who doesn't believe it. It's going to happen. We will all be in the Father's house. Oh my. And one of the difficulties, may I put it that way, with the King James translation of John 14 is that it presents a different picture. You know, it's King James, in my Father's house there are many mansions, right? Well, another word literally is what? Rooms. And that makes you get the picture there. All of God's children got a room. Oh my! All of God's children got a room in his house. You look forward to that? All of God's children got a room. Got a room. In a house that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will what? Come again. And we'll take you to this house that I've been building in the what? The new heaven and the new earth. We've never seen it. You've never seen this house that we're going to. You've never experienced it. You've never experienced life without the effects of sin. Brother Lay and Brother Darren and I were talking this morning. We got a dead bush out here that's, you know, causing us some problems, and we're gonna have to do something with it. We're not gonna have that problem in the new heaven and the new earth. You see, death is a result of what? Sin. There'll be no more death there. All the plant life gonna live. Isn't that wonderful? And we will, the Bible gives this picture that we will eat from the tree of life. Oh my. I wish I could do a better job of painting the picture, but that's all we know. It's going to be wonderful. Do you look forward to it? It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. And that's the reason we should have joy now. The whole earth belongs to the Lord, and He will dwell among us, never to leave us, never to forsake us. So rejoice today. Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord, and be glad today. Rejoice. I guess that's a message I'd like to leave with you from these feasts. Rejoice. You got good reason to rejoice. And if you're not a Christian, you can't know this joy unless you come to Christ. You can't know this joy unless you believe on Him. You can't do the facade thing. This is not a fake. You got to be real, man. You got to know Jesus for yourself. You've got to be changed from what within. And so I'd plead with anyone here or on Zoom or who will hear this message later, please come to Christ while you can. Come now, on this day of grace. Come now. It's like that imagery with Noah and the ark. You see, Noah preached all those years. Nobody listened to him because nobody had ever seen it rain. They just thought he was a foolish old man going around talking about it's going to rain. But then one day God said, get everybody in. And when everybody and everything was in the ark, what did God do? He closed the door. Doesn't matter whether you believe in rain or not, then it's all over. The only ones that survive are what? In the ark. And so I'm saying to you, the only ones that will go into eternity are those that are in Christ. So come now while the door is what? Still open. Lord, we thank You for Your great love for us and Your faithfulness to us in every way, every day. We confess our need for You